The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived. It's been a good one. We had Sam Pittman on early. We'll talk to other coaches as we get ready for another weekend of spring games. Speaking of that, Georgia has its spring game at Sanford Stadium on Saturday. Mike Griffith decided maybe to get there early so he wouldn't get locked out. Griff, what's going on? How are you?
That's right, Paul. I want to get the jump on the Bulldogs G-Day game on Saturday.
So let's talk about this. And what is the expectation?
Well, the expectation is to see a more polished version of Stetson Bennett, to see some young playmakers emerge at wide receiver, a brand new backfield with Kenny McIntosh and Kendall Milton. I anticipate that being one of the strengths of the team. And, you know, trying to reload. I mean, you're talking about a historic reload when you look at ESPN projecting 14 Georgia players to be selected in the NFL draft. And 10 guys in the first 100, that's 10% of the first 100 players coming from one school. So a pretty big reload ahead for Kirby Smart.
And Stetson Bennett has been a topic of a lot of conversation. No reason to hash it out, but after him, what does that quarterback room look like, and what do you expect?
Looks real good. I mean, Carson Beck is a third-year guy. He was a former player of the year. He's once an Alabama commit. Hey, if he sticks with Alabama, you might be talking about Carson Beck there. I know for a fact, talking to Bryce Young's dad last year, Bryce Young wasn't even looking at Bama until Carson Beck decommitted. So Georgia's backup could be at Alabama right now as their starter. And then you have Brock Vandergriff. He could be the Oklahoma starting quarterback. He was a five-star that actually flipped. So you've got some really talented backups behind the former walk-on Stetson Bennett. So I think they're really strong in the quarterback room. I don't think that's an issue in terms of talent and depth, Paul.
It's interesting. Maybe Carson Beck should have gone to Alabama. He'd be starting right now.
Well, you know, in this day and age of one-time transfers and NIL money, anything's possible. I think Bama's pretty well set though with Bryce Young, and they've got a pretty talented receiver in Jermaine Burton, a guy that, you know, just a couple years ago on this field had 8 catches for 197 yards in a game against Mississippi State and slowed by injuries last year, but a guy that through the transfer portal ended up at Alabama. I mean, look, you know, there's another Georgia receiver at Mississippi State. There's a cornerback at Florida. I mean, this is a new day and age of free agency, Paul, and we've hashed it out, and we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I know you're going to ask me about it, so I'll just go ahead. It out there. They lost a 5-star lineman. Amarius Mims is in the portal. And look, I mean, to me, and I don't have proof of this or concrete evidence, but there's tampering going on. There's always been tampering. There's always been the potential for transport.
So, Mike, on that subject, I realize it's hard to be specific, but you know everyone in this business. So give us a composite as best you can of what is going on, because I hear from coaches all the time, you hear from more than I do, that there's a lot of, I'm trying to find a nice word, there's a lot of stuff going on in that portal.
Yeah, there is, you know, and it's above board now once they're in the portal. But before a kid goes in the portal, you know, let's just say you've got a 5-star offensive lineman like Amarius Mims, and it was sought after by several schools, and it comes down to 3 or 4 schools. Well, once he picks Georgia and calls those coaches from the other schools to let them know, they say, man, that's great. We wish you luck. And maybe every 2 or 3 months they check in, maybe not with Amarius, but maybe a family member, maybe an uncle, maybe an aunt. And again, this is all speculative, but they stay in touch. And they've noticed, well, look at this. The 5-star doesn't play his freshman year. And, oh, my goodness, he starts out in the spring and he's not listed first team. You know, this is an opportunity now to maybe woo this player. And what's happened is programs like Alabama, which will have more attrition, guys in the portal, they've lost, you know, talented guys as well. The programs that once were able to stockpile the talent are the ones that are going to have these players picked off. And it's going to probably lead to a little bit more balance. It should. It's not the way they're going about it isn't great, Paul. But that's what's happened. This whole we're going to stockpile talent and iron sharpens iron and maybe by your third year. These players are looking around the room going, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want to wait 3 years. If I can go somewhere else and play my second year, or if there's an NIL deal waiting for me perhaps, which isn't supposed to be happening, but how do you enforce that, Paul? How do you know? It's not like you can have the FBI investigating football because they're too busy investigating basketball. Just kidding. But you can't have Federal Bureau of Investigation going through phone records and bank records. So you can make all the rules that you want, but enforcement is a whole nother matter.
We have spent the last hour or so talking about A&M, and that story will not go away. You know what people are saying. Can you help us better understand what's happening in College Station?
Well, I mean, Jimbo Fisher will tell you that, you know, they struck gold with this great recruiting class, but we've heard Lane Kiffin make charges that perhaps there's more to the story than just good campus visits and good steak dinners in College Station. I mean, Lane Kiffin said they should be charged a luxury tax. Jimbo Fisher was beside himself at the allegations, complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And then in the middle, you got Kirby and Saban saying, you know, there's got to be some rules here. I mean, this is the Wild West. So the problem, Paul, is when you try to make rules, you know, we're in this day and age of SEC envy. And we saw that not too long ago when Greg Sankey did a masterful job, I felt, with this 12-team playoff model, which I think would have been great for all of college football, you know, but the Big Ten and the ACC decided it was maybe too good for the SEC. So they formed this alliance to try to break this thing, and they did. So now you're going to try to ask all these conferences to get in the same room and come up with a set of rules? They can't even agree on a playoff. So right now, I think college football is, you know, in a bad place. And I think there needs to be some law and order. But right now, that's not happening. You mentioned A&M, and we're talking NIL money. You're talking about funds for, you know, players. I mean, nobody can prove this, apparently. It's just allegations. But it does strike some as odd that a team that went 8-4 and was one of the biggest disappointments in college football last year was able to land a number one recruiting class.
A&M fans push back. They have already here today, Mike, saying, you know, 2 years ago, number four in the country. They beat Alabama. They got a lot of eyeballs. They have one of the top academic institutions in the country. It's a global university. There's deep pockets. You've heard all this every time you've talked about it here. How do you square what you know with what the fans are saying and what Jimbo Fisher is saying? He was here the other day saying pretty much the same thing he's been saying the last couple of times that we've heard from him.
Yeah, it's nice. It really is. They still haven't even made it to the SEC championship game. And I think there's some comparative record between Jimbo and the previous coach, Kevin Sumlin, if I'm not mistaken. I think the numbers are strikingly similar.
They are.
You know, through the first few seasons. So, you know, we've seen this act before. I mean, this is a program that, you know, they're finally, I guess, theoretically past Texas for now, at least. You know, they want to enjoy their day in the sun. They did beat Nick Saban. They did have a win over Alabama. And that's great. They've got a number one recruiting class. And look, they're taking advantage of the market. I mean, this is where it's at right now. This is a frenzy. Right now, this is a frenzy because there's no rules in place. How much money you have does matter. NIL deals are lucrative. And look, Texas A&M, I mean, I know you've been there. Those facilities are, that football stadium is remarkable. You feel like you're in the metaverse or something. It's so new and impressive. And apparently the Georgia people are trying to chase me. They don't want me talking NIL in here, I guess. But clearly something's happening in college football, and there needs to be some guardrails put in place.
Mike, other than the A&M story, a lot of things are happening with spring games going on last week, this week, next week. What are you hearing? What other buzz is getting your attention within the SEC?
Well, you know, Billy Napier and the Gators, I think they added three transfers from Louisiana. So he's bringing those Louisiana Raging Cajuns down there. That's a pretty – now, they haven't done real well against Power 5 programs under Billy Napier. I think he beat Iowa State a couple of years ago, might have lost a couple times to Mississippi State. I think Texas might have beat him by three touchdowns last year, the week before Arkansas beat Texas by three touchdowns. So he's going to bring some of those Louisiana guys down there. You know, they're getting those transfers, right? So Florida's beefing up, getting some of those Sun Belt players in their program now, and maybe in the new strength and conditioning program that Billy Napier has going down there, they'll be able to develop these guys into SEC stars, maybe.
He gave an interview to somebody yesterday or today, and you know, most of it involved somewhat trying to replicate Saban. That's not unusual. We all know the suspects who have been doing that in the past. But what makes him different than those who have been successful so far, mainly the one you cover, and the many who have not been successful and have been fired?
Well, I mean, this isn't the first time that, I think Napier was on an Arizona State that got hacked, too. So he's been around the block. He's been in some other programs, Colorado State as well. What makes him different than Derek Dooley or Jeremy Pruitt? I mean, Pruitt was a coordinator, right? Kirby was a coordinator and for 9 years at Saban's side. So I just don't know that he has all the years. I think he was a receivers coach, which means he only had to get coffee once a week for Saban. I'm just kidding. He spent a few years there in the Saban program as a receivers coach. He is trying to replicate, because let's face it, Nick Saban does have the preeminent model, and nobody has had the staying power that Nick Saban has had at Alabama. A big part of that Saban, I think a big part of that is Alabama. I think Dabo Sweeney and Clemson are another program that have shown us that they can have staying power. And this program that I'm covering here and, you know, here at Sanford Stadium, does Georgia have the potential to have staying power? I don't think Kirby Smart's going to be visiting Notre Dame in a few years and ordering Cajun food anywhere. But I don't, Orgeron and the failures at LSU after their title. But I don't know that Georgia can sustain at that champion. You know, is Kirby going to be a multiple championship coach?
I want to go back to Napier for a second, because there was a time that Georgia and Florida locked horns on everybody. That's part of the rivalry. What do you hear in relation to – I mean, I know you mentioned the Louisiana players, but those players, whether it's Portal or – I mean, is Billy Napier trying to swipe some Georgia players?
I don't think Georgia is going for those Louisiana players, if that's just you were talking. I don't think those are on Kirby's recruiting board.
I just wonder, you said tampering a minute ago, and I don't know why I was thinking Napier. Am I wrong on that?
No. I would not say Billy Napier on that. I think there's a group thread of all these Saban assistants where there's some code of honor. Maybe Jimbo. I don't know if Jimbo's on the list anymore, but I don't think there's a whole lot of that really – I don't think there's a whole lot of that going on. And there's actually a deadline that the SEC has that if these kids aren't in the portal by February 1, they can't transfer, you know, in conference. I'm sure somebody will test that at some point and cry foul, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, no, I don't think Florida's doing that. And, listen, I know I joke a little bit about Billy Napier because, I mean, after all, who was he before he was the Florida coach? But, you know, all indications are this is a very upstanding, classy guy. The Florida faithful love this guy. I'm hearing great things from parents of players in that program. They've let me know that they think this guy is the real deal. And it'll take some time, you know, even with the NIL and the portal. I mean, honestly, Tennessee looks like a bigger immediate threat to Georgia right now than Florida. I could be wrong, but what I'm seeing happen at Tennessee with NIL and Josh Heupel, I mean, they appear to be a bigger threat and more immediate threat to Georgia than Florida is.
Hmm. We'll leave it there. Quite a finishing statement by Griff, and I'm sure Florida fans will not like the idea of being behind Tennessee if that indeed happens. Griff, thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Be safe. That stadium looks like they're about to do some work on the field. We're coming back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. Ronnie is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Ronnie.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Enjoyed the show. It's been particularly entertaining today to see all the backlash of the A&M delusional thinking. And I appreciate that you calling them out on some of that.
Thank you.
The guy from Jake from Texas. I'm sure the SEC is about going to throw in the towel now that the two powerhouses from Texas are going to be, and we're all going to be competing for third place. So,
yeah, no doubt.
hopefully we'll get, Independence Bowl bids, those type of things, and so two Texas schools are playing for the title every year. By the way, did they just get this money and facilities that's going to put them far and above everybody else?
No, I vaguely remember the final addition to Kyle Field has been there now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. The facilities have been there about the same amount of time. These facilities predated Jimbo Fisher. Kevin Sumlin had them his final 2 years, I believe.
Yeah, right. And if you look back at the recruiting rankings since Jimbo's been there, I mean, A&M has had very good recruiting classes.
Yeah.
Now, not as good as this one that they just bought.
No,
they have had ample opportunity, as you have plainly stated, for 5 years. No other coach would get that kind of leeway. And I hope they stay delusional. I hope they keep Jimbo in there and keep thinking he's on the bridge of, on the brink of something magical, and that's good for the rest of the SEC. And the other thing I'll point out is that, this magical season they had where they were ranked number 4, if you really ended up ranked number 4, if you really break that down, their wins, they lost by 28 to Alabama. Their big win was against Florida, who ended up with 4 losses. And if you take the rest of their teams from the SEC they played, not a single one of them was a team ranked in the top 40. At the end.
Yeah, so and for the record, I mean, they finished the regular season ranked 5th and didn't make the playoffs, and they ultimately moved up when in the final rankings. Stacy is up next in Texas. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, great. I want you to know I'm not a coach, I'm not a recruiter, and I'm not delusional. But I did want to bring to everybody's attention, since the whole rundown on A&M today. Kirby Smart took 5 years before he got his national championship, and I don't think y'all have harassed him as much as you're doing Jimbo.
No, Stacy, you're right. We didn't, but I believe he, in 2017, he did win the SEC, won the Rose Bowl, and played for the national championship.
True. I was just making a point. Took him 5 years to get the national championship. We'll see what happens this year. I'm looking forward to the season, and we will see what happens. I mean, you thought we might have lost the Wake Forest. There was a thing called COVID that kind of obstructed
everybody. Yeah, Stacy, I appreciate the update on COVID. I must have missed that. But I pointed out that LSU managed to play out of pride. And I mean, I'm not an Aggie fan. Alum, so I don't know how I would have felt if my team had cashed out 8 days out and what everyone knew was an obvious waving of the white flag.
Okay, well, you know more than I do.
I do not know any more than you do. I'm just surprised as an Aggie, because the people I've been around in Aggie land, I mean, you're talking about the best of the best, people that have helped save the world. And given us all freedom, that was hard for me to believe. But anyway, I'm over it. I will not mention it again. I am cured. Let's get John up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, great entertainment today. Particularly Butch. Last week you had the Burger King scandal, and
Butch was the Houston Cougar recruiter, right?
Right. How do you get $1 million in a Burger King bag?
I don't know, but he clearly knew what he was talking about, because you and I both know that Houston has won, what, 14 national championships.
Yeah. Just like the one who wanted Bennett for Heisman. You can't make this stuff up.
No.
Anyways, I've got a good recruiting story, because, you know, I'm a former HR executive.
Yes.
So an HR executive dies, goes to heaven, meets St. Peter, and St. Peter says, well, you have a choice. You can go to heaven or hell. And he says, well, I really can't make up my mind. Can I try both? That's what we do in human resources. He says, sure. So he beams up in the operator, the elevator, and goes up to the clouds, and he's spoiled and served great meals, plays golf with his buddies. And he says, well, this is what I was taught in heaven. Then he goes back down to hell, and there's where his friends are, and they actually plays golf again, has a great steak dinner, really good time. Then he comes up to St. Peter and says, well, Peter says, have you made up your mind? And he says, well, I really like heaven. It's everything I've been taught, but all my friends are in hell, and we had a great time. It's like we were at the golf club every day. And he says, okay. So he beams him down, and now his friends are in rags. They're scavenging for food. So he calls up St. Peter, and he says, what happened? This is not what I expected. He said, well, yesterday we were recruiting you. Today you're an employee.
Oh, my. All right. I don't know any HR people other than you, John. Hey, thanks for the call. We are heading to a break. We still have 30 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here late on a Tuesday. Joe is next.
Roll that road, Paul Feinbaum.
Joe.
And you know what? Old Baboon Brave Butch, you know, he ain't the dumbest man on earth, but he better hope the one that is don't die. I mean, he's as much a recruiter as Augie is a court reporter. I mean, he's... But you got to give it to him. And Matt in San Antonio, Paul, I would love to crash his podcast and just, you know, take over his podcast and just talk to them Aggies. You know, talk to them.
So, let's can do that. Everybody out there is watching and listening. So let's make believe I'm Matt from San Antonio, okay?
Okay.
Hello, I'm Matt from San Antonio. Welcome to the Aggies podcast. Our guest today is Joe from Red Bay. Joe, tell us how you really feel about the Aggies' success in recruiting.
We're old tight road, Matt, in San Antonio. And you know what? Hey, you got lucky one year. But, hey, let's be honest. The Aggies suck. I mean, they're a 4 or 5, you know, lost team a year. You know, they suck. I mean, they need to stick with basketball. Well, never mind that. They suck at that, too. They need to stick it. You know, I don't know what they need to do, Paul. I mean, chase puppies or, you know, I mean, Matt. Okay, this is Matt in San Antonio. Hey, but hey, we need to bring Alabama blood in this podcast because, you know what? These Aggie fans, y'all losing. Y'all are lost your minds. I mean, you've lost it. And I'll tell you what, I've been to Texas and they don't even have good catfish. I mean, they're good, fish
are you
suck,
sure
Paul.
About that?
They do. I've ate at restaurants. In
yeah,
Texas.
But you I'll know something, Joe? They may not have good catfish, but they got the best chicken fried steak in America.
That's right. Chicken fried steak. You better believe it. They do got that. They do. But I'll tell you what they don't have. Well, that's a good football team. And they don't have a good basketball team. And they don't have good sports, period. I mean, I don't know what they're good at, to be honest, besides, you know, cooking. You know, but chicken fried steak, Paul, you'd hit that right on the head, because the best chicken fried steak I ever had was in Texas. That is true.
You know what? I've had some of the best Mexican food I've ever had in Fort Worth, too. So they have that, too.
Well, I'll be honest, Paul. I've tried, when I was in Texas, I would try to stop at these Mexican restaurants. And I'm sure there's good ones there, but I didn't like them.
Okay,
I like the ones back in Florence, Alabama better.
So hold on, Joe.
I mean,
you're choosing a Mexican restaurant in Florence, Alabama, over one in Fort Worth or someplace down there?
Well, they may not like me, Paul, because I ordered the steak fajitas, and all I got was gristle. Gristle. I mean, it wasn't in no meat.
You shouldn't have ordered the dollar special.
Well, I shouldn't have probably worn my Alabama hat. I mean,
you probably shouldn't have, Joe. I agree with you on that.
And, you know, when the church that says Texas suck, I mean, that didn't help.
Yeah, that was
either.
A bad idea.
So you could have worn
the one that said all my exes live in Texas.
And I tell you what, I think they charged me double.
But that's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
And I got a speed ticket in Dallas wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt.
Well, they suck too.
I mean, they didn't do me right in Texas. I mean, there ain't nothing good in Texas. Some of the women are hot, but I mean, besides that, and you know, and chicken fried steak. I mean, that's about all they got. But they need to give up this if Jimbo Fisher's ever going to do anything at A&M, because he really didn't do. And I tell you what, if Auburn didn't pay Cam Newton, Bama would have waxed Florida's state's butt. So Jimbo Fisher wouldn't even got that. I mean, because he destroyed that school. But he's just the same old, same old.
Joe, Jimbo Fisher met. Cam Newton was gone by the time of that. He left a couple years earlier, but don't worry about it. Let's check out Marcus in Texas. Hey, Marcus, go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say I enjoy y'all's show.
Thank you.
Great entertainment. But hey, A&M's on their way, baby. We on our way, because you know what they say? If you ain't got haters, then you ain't doing something right. And we starting to garnish a lot of haters out here. And that old Joe in Bama, he don't know what he's talking about. We got great catfish out here. He just likes dirty catfish because they don't clean their catfish out there.
So, but okay, hey, Marcus, I don't eat catfish. So hold on. So you're saying the catfish in Alabama is unclean, while the ones out when you eat catfish out where you live, it's better.
Absolutely, because a catfish is a bottom feeder, so they eat from the bottom. So we like to clean our catfish out here so we can think properly.
Okay.
See, Joe over there is eating dirty catfish, so his mind's all clouded.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, that's why them Bama folks think like that. You know what? But we'll let him have his way or think however he wants to think. But at the end of the day, they lost last year. They lost to A&M and they lost to Georgia. So he's just hurting right now. It's all right. Hey, Joe, when you go to church on Sunday, you better pray, because A&M is coming for y'all butt.
I like it. B is up next. Hello, B. You are on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great.
First time, you know, a long time. This is the first time getting through to talk to you.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy your show. Been listening to you for a long time. I really want to know, why are people so up in arms about Texas A&M getting these players? You know, if they pay for them, they pay for them. They got to develop them on the field.
You're right. You're right.
And, yeah, you know, you beat Alabama, yeah, you beat us. We lost to Georgia. But we actually played in the national championship game. Where were they?
They were home.
He was at home. Alabama, how much you coming for us, and you ain't came for nobody in a long time. So roll tide, and I keep listening to
you. Hey, B, thank you for calling. I'm glad you made it in. Jeff is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, are you a little surprised how all these people are calling in, acting all upset and surprised at this whole NIL and transfer portal and worried about what it's going to do? I mean, what's the surprise, Paul? You and I talked about this over a summer ago that, like you said earlier today, there's nothing to police this right now. And the combination of the NIL with the portal, I don't see there being an end game. Do you really, Paul? I mean, what do you think the end game is with all this?
There's no end game in the NIL. You're not going to be able to touch it. All you can do with the portal is manage it better by putting some restrictions up in terms of when you can do it and when you can't. But other than that, there's nothing that can be done.
No, absolutely zero. And Paul, I think what would be a tremendous interview is if you would get on, whether it's the Alabama AD or the Texas A&M AD. I think what's curious to me, and nobody's talked about this, if you're an athletic director and used to raising funds for your athletic department from boosters, and that booster money is now going to probably go to the NIL because these guys want to get up and close to these athletes. Don't you agree?
Jeff, I think you have just nailed the most salient part of all this. And there's only so much money to go around. So forget the fat cats, but you know, most football programs are supported by just average folks. And
average home builders,
exactly. and you're giving about as much as you can give to get your premium tickets, to make sure you're on the list. And now you're giving more money, and there are going to be a lot of departments that are going to be suffering as a result of the average supporter not being able to give money elsewhere.
I agree 100%. And it's interesting to me, and this is why I'd like to get the AD's perspective, most of these, donations you make to the university, when you back out the benefits you get, most of the time, these things are deductions on their tax returns, for the most part. The NIL, I can't imagine you're going to be able to get a tax deduction for that. So I just think nobody's ever talking about this whole business side of all this and how it's going to work. And you're right, it's going to create, to me, such a wide divide of the haves and have-nots, because there's only, I think, 15 to 20 athletic departments that can support big-time NIL with big-time
And Jeff, one more thing, but I have to go to a break, but you understand this. There are many, we talked about Michigan the other day. Michigan's not sure they're in on this, and that's one of the greatest football traditions of all time. I think there are a lot of issues involving, but I think you're right. The small guy, and that includes a lot of Power 5 schools and big conferences, are not going to be able to handle it. There's another story here that it's too complicated to get into, but there's an antitrust concern by many people in college athletics as well that could wreak even more havoc than all this, but we'll save that for a rainy day.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.